is the Freedom Fiends. By libertarians, for libertarians, against libertarians. You like that new motto, Davi?
That's a good slogan. I wonder where it came from.
Came from Jim Jesus, who is doing the Libertarians Against Humanity Indiegogo campaign, and he got an anonymous $100 donation today. So he is at $827 of his $1,000 goal. So go to libertariansagainsthumanity.com and learn how you can help fund and get some cards to play Libertarians Against Humanity. You've heard us play it on here. Now get the home board version. Tell them what they've won. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This keeps a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it? Can you feel it, Davi Barker? Is it working? Can you feel it?
I sure can, and I'm here. I got to start the show off right with my feline fire alarm going off.
Yeah, your alarm cat woke you up out of your stupor.
I am currently fighting a fire in the studio here, but that's no excuse for 6 seconds of silence on the Freedom Fiend, so I'm going to just talk through it.
Are you really still fighting? Are you fighting a fire, actually, or is it over?
No, it's just smoke now.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Okay, because, you know, I'm sure I could just go down my Skype list and call people until somebody picked up. But, yeah, man, so your alarm cat alerted you. I was saying, like, our cats would probably just go across the street to the neighbor's house and warm their paws watching our house burn. I'm kidding.
My cat's a captive audience. He's an indoor cat, so
yeah.
He has to meow for his life.
I gotta say, the one time... Well, not the only time someone's tried to break into a house I was in while I was home, but when it happened in California, in SoCal, not NorCal, where you are, the one time someone tried to break into our home while I was there, I had headphones on and my back to the window they were trying to come in through, and they were quietly trying to pry it open with a stick. And I was in the other room across the hall with my back, you know, I never would have known until they were in, if they'd gotten in. And, my cats alerted me. Our cats were running into the room and meowing and making noise. And I turned around and looked, and there was somebody trying to pry a window open with a stick.
Well, so there you go.
Cats are good, man. Although probably not as good as dogs. I don't picture a cat attacking an interloper and going for his jugular like some dogs would if you broke into their house.
No, cats will rescue you as long as there's some self-interest in it for them.
Although they're not really smart enough to realize that if they don't save you, their food supply may be limited.
Yeah, that's probably true. Well, I don't know. They might know. I mean, they definitely study humans enough to figure out like doorknobs and things occasionally. So yeah. I've seen that.
I've seen that too. I've seen cats open a doorknob and it's kind of creepy when it happens.
I think they're smarter than they let on.
That would be the really smart thing to do. You know, that's, I've actually heard people, like smart people our age, give advice to smart people in high school and say, like, or in grade school or middle school, and say, best thing you could do is not let them know you're smart.
Just play dumb. Keep your head down.
Yeah.
Pursue intellectual interests outside of school.
Yeah. Intentionally get a C on a thing you could ace without studying. Yeah. So, I do want to say that Barack Obama is a liar. He's a socialist and his feet stink.
He did cuddle a koala. Did you see this photo spread?
No, I don't look at this.
Big talk. This was big talk at Libertopia. We had a whole like hour long conversation about the privilege of presidential koala cuddling, and because it's apparently you can't cuddle a koala unless you're in a position of power.
Ah, because they're endangered.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So the only people we could find who had done it, and we did some extensive searching, was Obama, Putin, the Pope, and the crocodile hunter. And he was killed for it.
Wasn't he killed by the government?
Well, he was killed by a stingray.
Oh, okay. I thought he was killed by the government. There was some well-known tough Australian, you know, celebrity of some sort, I think was killed in a raid for not giving up his guns when the government mandated it a few years ago.
Maybe the stingray story is all a hoax.
Maybe.
Maybe it's a cover-up. Maybe he was killed for cuddling a koala without the appropriate electoral process.
Yeah, and we had trouble getting your connection to me to work before the show started. We finally got it at the last minute, but there was no reason for it. We couldn't figure it out, and it works now. But I suggested that maybe you forgot to renew your free speech permit.
Yeah, I forgot to sign the Constitution. That's what happened.
You forgot to sign the social contract that you're supposed to sign just by waking up in America every morning.
and say that. So they said no free speech. Free speech is not like an inalienable right accessible to all humans. It's just for Americans with current paperwork.
Apparently. And yours is, yeah, yours is. So we had to do a workaround and route you through Italy, I think it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not that they're any freer than America, those fascists. You know, actually the term, a lot of people don't know this. A lot of people younger than me, and I'm 50, don't know the origin of the term fascist. Technically, fascism only existed in its absolute true form for a few years in the world. And it was Benito Mussolini, El Duce, the tyrant who ran Italy at one point, had something called fascism, which was his government takeover of all business, you know, being deeply in the bed of all business and not allowing. It was kind of a thing of if you, and this is the literal definition of fascism, you know, people, I wouldn't say people abuse the term. I'd say they've expanded the definition. It generally means, in common usage, it means tyrant. Or, you know, to a lot of people, it means person who does something I don't like, even if it's not tyrannical. Like, I've even heard Republicans called fascists because they don't want to pay for birth control, which is ridiculous. But, you know, I would take it way beyond that, too. I don't want to pay for anybody's anything. And I don't have a problem with an unmarried woman being on birth control. That's not my problem with that equation. My problem is paying for anything from anybody. But fascism is literally government takeover of the market, but not to the extent of communism. In communism, the government owns all the means of production. In fascism, if you're a friend of the government and not critical of the government will let you keep your factory, but tell you how to run it, who to hire, who to fire, what to sell things for, what you can make, what you can't make. And, you know, if all of a sudden they decide that
time to build tanks.
Yeah, there's enough violent, you know, there's enough typewriters in the country. We're building, you know, assault rifles this week. You don't question it. You just do it.
Yep.
Yeah. And you don't make mortars that where the shells don't fit because that doesn't work.
And you may need to employ children from undesirable classes because their fingers fit in those bullet casings so nicely. Ugh,
tyrants are horrible. And, you know, I would say that current America is fascism. It's soft fascism compared to that. But, you know, think about all the things, all the controls that the government has on privately owned business. It's just a matter of degrees from that. And, you know, anybody who wants to put up blockades to punish some nation or anybody who wants to stop people from freely flowing like cats across borders – anybody who wants to mandate that you pay for everything, anyone who wants to say you can't have certain things, all of that is fascism of some sort. And so you got a comment on that, Dobby?
Yeah, you know, fascism is one of those F words that can be used as an adjective and a noun, which is sort of interesting. But it comes from the word fasci, which it means a bundle of sticks. And the idea is that one stick will break when a bundle won't. And, you know, you can see fascis all over American iconography.
On the back of dimes.
On the back of the dime.
Is it the current dime or just the old dimes? It's the current dime too, right?
Pretty sure
it's the current dime. They took FDR off the front of them. I don't have any coins. I can't tell. I don't think I even have any currency.
You know, I might. Do I have? Nope, I don't. I thought I had
one. Yeah, it's a fasci. It's a bundle of sticks, which is kind of funny because the term faggot also means a bundle of sticks in England. So, or a cigarette also.
It's also, Abraham Lincoln is holding one in the Lincoln Monument.
Hi, I am a fascist. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
It's, you know, that's proto fascism before it had a popular terminology.
Yeah. And he was not a cool guy. He didn't really free the slaves. He actually didn't free them, on paper. That took an amendment later. And that amendment also had some addendums that expanded the federal power. He didn't like black people. He basically just went to war on the South because they weren't doing his bidding and he wanted to punish them economically. And I'm not saying slavery is good. Slavery is horrible. But Lincoln is on record saying, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something effective like, you know, I hope the Negro never has the power to vote in America.
Yeah. It also had a lot to do with the railroad corporations that bankrolled his campaign and how the South wasn't cooperating with them. So that's kind of fascist.
Yeah, that is very fascist. That is not the free market. So I think we've given our political dissertation for the first hour. Let's go on to fun stuff. You just got back from Libertopia. Explain what Libertopia is, please, and then describe it.
Yeah, Libertopia is it's a liberty convention or a conference in San Diego. It's sort of like Liberty Forum West in a sense.
How can you have a Liberty Forum in California? Sorry.
Well, they still allow it. Mostly.
Is anyone open carrying guns and smoking joints?
No,
then it's not a Liberty Fest.
I did not see any firearms. I did see quite a bit of marijuana, and there were brownies floating around. The sort of slogan of the event became "Don't go full brownie." But you know, that's sort of like partially legalized in California now, anyway. So that's not quite the act of civil disobedience it used to be.
And for what it's worth, Davi Barker and I do not smoke marijuana or take any illicit drugs. But we think that anybody else should be able to who wants to.
Yep. Even in the presence of those that do, I abstain.
Yeah.
But
I just sit around and watch. You know, the way I feel if I'm around someone smoking pot, which is extraordinarily rare. I mean, Porkfest was, I saw a lot of it, but that was the first time in years. It kind of, I kind of have that feeling of like, there's a Simpsons where Mr. Burns and Smithers are somewhere where there's no people around and they're bored. I think they're caught in a they're stuck in a cabin, in the winter in an avalanche. And Mr. Burns tells Smithers they don't have much in the room, but they have some brandy. And, Mr. Burns says, "Smithers, become intoxicated and dance around for my amusement." And that's kind of how I feel when I'm around people smoking pot. I'm like, oh, I get to watch people lower their IQ by 50 points. How cute.
Yeah, for me, being at a Liberty event after hours when everybody's mildly intoxicated and being one of the only sober people in the room, it's kind of like being in an orchard full of ripe fruit that nobody's harvesting, because they come up with all of these great ideas and great jokes and all this stuff is like flying and banter and nobody's going to remember it but me.
They probably don't remember it. Yeah, you should just walk around with a little recorder and just steal all their best laid plans.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
That's I'm the brain fruit harvester of Liberty events.
Is that who writes all the t-shirts that you sell that everyone thinks you make up?
Yeah, exactly. Now you know my secret.
So, dude, like, what if we had a t-shirt that had an airplane with dropping Bitcoin? Dude, that'd be awesome. Or it'd probably be, what if we had an airplane that dropped Bitcoin? But, all right, we'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. By libertarians. For libertarians. And against libertarians. All right, so Davi Barker, you are returning triumphantly. The triumphant return of Mr. Davi Barker from Libertopia in San Diego. And this weekend, we're going to be talking with MK Lords, Davi and I are, this Sunday. And one of the planned topics is Liberty events. Worth going to or not? Or not just Liberty events, but events. And but we're not going to get there
yet. That was actually part of my talk. So,
I guess we're shortening it up. No, you can do it because there's going to be, I would still like to have a longer talk with her about that. And we're on different stations on the Sunday show, too. So it's always worth doing. And, you know, that's one thing I do want to talk about today is I have more on the one of our fans wrote us and asked us, why are you on radio when there's so many hoops to jump through and you can't swear and you have to go to a break every few minutes? Why aren't you just a podcast? And
it's all those virgin ears.
I answered this. I'll go ahead and do it now. I was going to tease it, but we'll come back to Libertopia. So there were a bunch of reasons I gave last night. It was basically you reach people on radio you'd never reach otherwise. That's the main reason. One is I've always wanted to be on radio since I was a little kid, and I've basically worked my whole life toward, not that this is the epitome of my life or the best thing I've ever done, but I've worked my whole life toward this. And there were other reasons, and there was a few that I forgot to mention that I thought of later. One is there will always be live professional media interrupted by commercials, like even if it's only over the internet in the future. It's a format that works commercially. So even if radio went away, if AM and FM radio went away and they took all those bandwidths for, controlling drones or something, There is still going to be a large industry of people talking to the masses in a somewhat entertaining way, you know, because radio is, I mean, not only is that a commercially successful format, and even like the big radio networks, you know, that own thousands, you know, hundreds of stations and the biggest stations in America, like Clear Channel and Cumulus, they're kind of pushing for like download our app and, you know, getting people to listen to it on their streams on the, instead of on the radio, so they can do it anywhere. And because, you know, eventually they may, you know, sell off their radio towers to control drones or something. But if you listen to those, the streams on their app, it's the exact same thing. It's, you know, Rush Limbaugh talks for 13 minutes. There's four minutes of ads. He talks for six more minutes. There's 5 minutes of ads. He talks for 13 more minutes. There's 5 minutes of ads. He talks for 6 minutes. And then there's the top of the hour news for 6 minutes. It's the same format. So there will always be a market for that. So one of the reasons I'm still doing radio is I'm teaching the next generation of Liberty Talkers, because I'm not going to be able to do this forever. You know, I feel my brain getting foggier and I'll probably get killed by the government or thrown in Gitmo for free speech or something. And I want to make sure that I train, you know, between 30 and 100 people to replace my place in the world doing that. And, you know, if you train 100 people doing that, 10 and 20 of them will keep doing it. 10 of them will be really good. And like 5 of them will end up being employed doing it. And that's batting 1,000 for me. So that's one reason I do it. And another reason is I get to play with ad time on commercial radio. And that is something I get a big kick out of. You know, like, we don't sell our ads anymore. This is kind of an elaborate hobby for me. I work 30 hours a week on it and barely make, I mean, I make maybe clear $50 a month on a good month. Probably a little more with my Amazon affiliate link stuff, but that's not just from the Fiends. That's from my Creamy Radio audio blog too. But I'm not making a living at this. I have another job. I do tech writing. I really love that I would rather like keep my ads and do activism with them and just do weird Dada kind of art stuff with them. Like have a political ad, a fake political ad talking about the idiocy of voting, playing on 34 commercial radio stations right after a real political ad right before an election. That is priceless, man. You can't, I mean, I couldn't afford to pay for that ad time. So I get to do that. And I get to do things like, you know, give ads to charities like the ones Davi runs, Shiny, what is it called? Shiny
causes.shinybadges.com.
Yeah. causes.shinybadges.com, which I call shinycauses.com.
Which, or, I don't, that URL does not go anywhere useful.
I think you should call it shinycauses.com. Shiny causes though. Yeah, I love to be able to do that. I love to be able to give ad time to, you know, to antiwar.com and Free Ross and things like that. And I couldn't do that on radio if I were just on the internet. So I, you know, I make the sacrifices of doing this on radio because it's a more restrictive format, because I want to be able to have the perks of being on radio and being able to just think of an ad, write it, record it, and the next day it's playing on 34 radio stations. You can't buy that. Well, I guess you could, but it would cost a lot of money. So worms.
Worms.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Now that the elections are over and liberty has slipped even further away, it's time to try yet another political organization. Campaign for a Longer Leash is a nonpartisan group of pups and dogs dedicated to fighting for longer leashes for all. We're not talking about no leashes, that would be catarchy. We just want the limited leash that the Hounding Fathers promised us. As Bone Barklin once said, a longer leash if you can keep it, ma'am. For more info, go to facebook.com/campaignforalongerleash.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends.
Coffee, 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 coffee,
coffee. Welcome back to Fly Fishing with Mark Stevens. No, that's not what this show is. This is the Freedom Fiends. Oh, libertarianism all the time. All right, so tell me more about Libertopia.
Sure. It was smaller this year than last year, but it was the same venue, which is this big place called Town and Country Hotel or Town and Country Suites or something, which is kind of neat because it's this massive property, and so you're almost never going to be interacting with any sort of police or anything because you're so far away from any public land.
Ooh.
But I was in two talks. I did one talk on zombies, and I did another talk on Bitcoin with a panel of other people from anti-war and Bitcoin Not Bombs and stuff
was
like that.
Was MK Lord on any of them?
Yep. She was a moderator on the Bitcoin as a Force for Good panel, and she also had her own topic, her own talk. I don't recall the title of it at the moment. But, you know, the real thing about these Liberty events, the real sort of the reason to go is not so much the speakers, although the speakers are good. I met Boston Tea Party.
Oh, good.
And I got you and the police.
How'd you like Boston?
He's cool.
Yeah.
You know, he's very down to earth, very, you know, willing to kind of shake hands and chat and hang out and that kind of thing.
He's but a gentleman. Really, he and Bill Buford are really good friends.
And he reminded me a lot of Bill.
When I first met Bill, I'd met Boston already, and Bill reminded me of, and Bill has said things like they are of the same cloth. And I think it's a cloth that there isn't much left of in this world. They are very unique kind of man's men, gentlemen, you know, like when most libertarians are out like hammering people on the internet for, please help me pay my rent. Like, you know, Boston is flying to, you know, Africa to go on safari and things like that. Like, he manages his life really well, and so does Bill. And there's just something about the way they both carry themselves, and they're both extremely well read. They are both, what's the term for people? Oh, polymaths. They are both very knowledgeable and have, I wouldn't say experts, but they're kind of like
Renaissance men,
jack of all trades and near master of many and master of some. Yeah, you know, like Boston.
Yeah, for sure.
Boston has written books. And I like this. I like people who don't just sit around and talk about the government or about their own particular brand of, if we put our names in all caps, the government can't touch us, or some voodoo like that. You know, like, there are libertarians who are kind of one-hit wonders. They just do one thing, whereas Boston is one of these guys that, you know, goes out, like, he's written books on, you know, the income tax system. He's written books on prepping. He's written books that tell you how to, like, you know, set up a rabbit hutch and then put a worm farm under the rabbit hutch to make an ecosystem that can sustain itself. You know, he's written several books on firearms. He's extremely knowledgeable. He's a great shot with a rifle. Most libertarians.
And novels too. He writes fiction,
and he's written novels.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and he's writing a series of books on advice for young men. I would like to see more of that. And that's kind of my joke of, no, welcome back to Fly Fishing with Mark Stevens. You know, I'm thinking about, like, some of the people in Liberty who have, like, one thing they do, like Mark Stevens just tells you how to yell at judges and challenge their authority in court. You know, Larkin Rose has a couple things. He tells you, you know, how to not pay taxes legally, but, you know, it's not really that. It's some kind of secret words that he even went to prison for trying. And he does, you know, good kind of intro to libertarianism videos and things like that. But, well, I mean, Larkin Rose can play music. I've heard him. He's a good guitarist. He's a decent singer. He could do harmony. Why doesn't Larkin Rose do a video on, you know, how to write a 3-chord song or 4-chord song, or a 7-chord song? He's written some weird ones. Why doesn't Larkin Rose do a video on how to do vocal harmony? He's really good at it. Why doesn't Mark Stevens do a video on fly fishing? You know, I try to do... to spread all the knowledge I have. You know, I do these videos on how to do podcasting. You know,
that's funny. This was kind of the point of my zombie talk at the end. Like, yay. I talked about zombies because it's like, it's my thing. And I talked about the book and about Walker Stalker Con and stuff like that. But the moral of the story at the end was, hey, you know what? Everyone in this room has an interest other than Liberty. And there are conventions for fans of people with those interests. So, you know, take what you learn at these sort of Liberty conferences and go out into the world and find those virgin ears and spread it to them in their language, according to their interests. Like, that was kind of my point.
And you spoke to that in the Freedom Fiends Guide to Podcasting that we made. One of the tips you had was, you know, I talked about how the market is saturated with, here's why the government's wrong and here's what the government did today. I mean, there is literally more than enough of that. Not saying you shouldn't do it if you really want to do it, but you suggested, you know, doing the Game of Thrones Liberty podcast or the Zombie Liberty podcast. There is room.
Yeah.
Basically, I think more people should be doing the kind of media we'd be doing if the government were already out of the way. And I think that's part of envisioning LibPair into your mind to make it happen. And I'm not saying magical thinking will get us away from tyranny, but it's definitely a step. You know, like you couldn't get rid of slavery until you envisioned there not being slavery and discussed it, you know? So that's kind of where we're at now.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the after parties are the big thing more than the talks. Like I hung out with Carla Garrick and I hung out with a bunch of friends I hadn't seen in a long time, like Drew and Megan and these folks. And I think that's where the real kind of rubber meets the road in the Liberty movement is the after hours of these. So I kind of want to throw an event. We were jokingly calling it a Liberty boondoggle, where it's all after hours. There's no hotel, no speakers, no nothing. It's just an all after hours.
I would Liberty go to that party. Because like I went to Porkfest. I don't think I went to a single event that I wasn't speaking at. You know,
nobody goes to those.
I didn't go hear
anyone. Everyone in those crowds, it's their first year.
That's it is. It's Liberty. It's Liberty 101 people that go to the how we can get to a stateless society speech. You know, it's like we already know.
And you climb over this hill into the tent area. It's right there.
You leave the tent and you go up to the woods. That's how you find Liberty. Yeah. So go on. I'm intrigued and wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
I mean, there wasn't a whole lot else going on. I guess I talked to what is his name, Mark Stevens, about his bio. And,
and people who don't know, he's a guy that does an internet radio show on LRN called Adventures in Legal Land is his book. What's his show called?
The Mark Stevens Show.
That's what I call it. It's called
Is
something
it Government
else.
Indicted? That was what his banner said. No, that's his book.
I don't know, but he does a show on LRN where he. Basically,
his bio said that he's the only radio show advocating a voluntary society, which we sort of took umbrage with.
Well, he said he's the only host of a show. He said he's the only host of a show on radio on the air advocating for a voluntary society. And that is so wrong. I mean, he's not on the air. He's not on radio. He might be on some, you know, most powerful station in the tri-yard area rebroadcast of LRN, but he's not on commercial radio. He's not on, you know, he's not listed on any radio station websites that I know of, you know, and he wrote that 6 years ago. And look at the Fiends weren't around then, but Free Talk Live was, and they're on a lot of commercial stations. So,
So I asked him about this, and it was sort of a combination of our theories. It was partially that Libertopia had pulled up an old bio without telling him, and so he doesn't use this bio anymore.
Right.
So it was sort of like Libertopia saying that I was in the Tea Party and the Occupy movement when that's years old. But it's also that it's also the parsing words explanation, because he says even though Free Talk Live was around at the time, he said that Free Talk Live bills itself primarily as an open lines call-in show, which was true 5 or 6 years ago. And it is
still true.
But that's sort of, you know, that's sort of the parsing of language.
Yeah, so he's saying he's the only show on the air.
He's not saying, it's not fair to say he's saying. He's not saying this anymore.
He used to say. Well, I'd say he's saying by still allowing it to be up, because if there was something incredibly out of date and insulting to other people in Liberty in a bio of mine from 6 years ago, I would try to get it changed. You know, I would write to Libertopia even after the event, you know, today with him listening to this right now, I'm sure someone's writing him and saying, they're talking about you. I'm hearing it on LRN. I would write Libertopia and say, hey, that's not accurate. Take that line off and replace it with this line or something.
He did have he has a pretty cool project he's working on right now.
Is it fly fishing?
No, it's not fly fishing. He didn't have a name for it exactly. I kind of jokingly called it Porkfest Without Borders. But his idea is essentially to get a group of activists who he's sort of already putting this list together to go to
I'll bet I'm not on it. I'll bet I couldn't pay to buy a ticket and go to it. But go on.
To go to like a guard station between the U.S. and Canada, like in mass, and refuse to show any papers and cross the border without any papers.
I'd watch a YouTube video of that.
I think I would want to go.
I know you would want to go.
I think it'd be worth doing.
Yeah.
I think he's scheduling it for Porkfest. He's hoping to get sort of a drive from Porkfest up to the border along with some Canadian friends to come south. And then, I don't know, like...
He doesn't go to Porkfest, though.
Shake hands or something. I don't know.
He said it was too... I don't know. He didn't like the big gay dance party or something. It was too decadent.
Yeah. Well, then don't go.
Oh, but you could still do it without, you know, I guess it's just drawing people away from Porkfest to get arrested, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. If, I mean, a mass arrest would be one hell of an outcome.
I'm not making fun of activism. I'm just kind of being a contrarian. It sounds interesting to me. I would not take part in it, and I don't think he'd want me there. But it sounds interesting. He actually said that I sounded like a COINTELPRO agent at one point, which is a really common thing that I've found with...
He said that to me when we talked about you a little bit, and he mentioned that. And he was saying that he didn't say that you sounded like a COINTELPRO person, but that you, or he didn't suspect that you were, but the things that you said like were one. Similar to what, it was the same thing you said about Cantwell, essentially. Well, like, I'm not saying he's a cop.
You're
he's
parsing, just doing what cops no, do. No, he's parsing again, and he,
yeah, I know.
You know, he's not a lawyer. He pretends to be, well, I don't even know if he pretends to be one, but he gives what I would consider legal advice, which he says, I'm not giving legal advice when he's, you know, telling people how to behave in court based on the facts of their case. I would say that's giving legal advice, but you know, because giving legal advice is illegal, he says that's not legal advice. But no, he parses things like a lawyer. Like he says, you know, it's kind of like Bill Clinton with depends what the definition of is. If he says that thing on his bio, well, you know, I was saying that not a talk calling show, which, you know, he didn't say that. And the thing is, he takes calls on his show.
So. Yeah, but the point was it's not, I know it's parsing language, but his point was that that's not his primary role or whatever.
Yeah, but
he's,
no,
not, he's not a lawyer, are you sure? I would have thought he was a lawyer. I know he was talking about that, a no, current case.
Everybody thinks that. No, he's absolutely not a practice, you know, he's not a past the bar.
He does have
attorney.
Open cases, though, or clients, because I know, like, in the middle of our conversation, one of the people in his group came and said that they'd won a case.
He's not an attorney, and that was my only issue in my open letter with him, was I said, people think you're an attorney and behave as if you are one, and I think you should put a disclaimer on your show every few minutes, or every once an hour, saying, you know, Mark Stevens is not an attorney, blah, 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 blah. This is activism, not legal advice. And he refused to do it and laughed at the idea of it. No, he's not an attorney, and you think he's an attorney. There's, I don't know if that's proof, but that's evidence right there.
I don't know. I just suspect.
See? Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Do you believe in free speech? Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at TrueShibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. TrueShibes.com.
Having outgrown childish libertarian fantasies, I now believe in worms! What is Libertarians Against Humanity? It's the only unofficial Cards Against Humanity expansion pack by libertarians, for libertarians, and against libertarians. Libertarians Against Humanity is free to play online, or join the Indiegogo campaign to get physical copies and other perks to play with friends or status you haven't defued yet. Because if we don't laugh, the status win.
Not recommended for faint heart, thin skins, or those who easily rustle jimmies. Consult a physician if you experience a drop in blood pressure or laughter lasts longer than 4 hours.
That's LibertariansAgainstHumanity.com.
Freedom Fiends. Yeah. So I wanted to get the exact wording right of what Mark Stevens said, because he is one of those, it depends on what the definition of is people. He said of me, Mike's lack of evidence is breathtaking and makes him appear more of a COINTELPRO agent than a liberty lover. I take that as he's calling me a government agent, but putting it in words
You got to parse out the words. The word he used is makes it appear. And to say that something appears is not to say that something is.
Yeah,
and
it's so. it's a way of calling someone a name and being able to say, I didn't call you a name. That's what I say.
Yeah.
And that's extremely... calling people government agents or suggesting that they might be is extraordinarily common in liberty, especially with what I would consider the fringes of liberty, which are the ideas.
You need like a Godwin's law of COINTEL accusations. That's what we need.
A discussion is over as soon as somebody calls someone a government agent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
or the first person to accuse their opponent of being a government agent has lost the argument. Isn't that how Godwin's law works?
Yeah. About Hitler. Yeah. Larkin Rose said that people who bash Molyneux, you know, this is without him looking at the evidence. So he collectively called me and a bunch of other people government agencies or suggested that we might be taking a government paycheck. That was his terminology. If you go to the Amazon page for what is his video, Theft by Deception, there are people saying this is a how-to on how to not pay taxes. And the guy who made the video later went to prison for using this method of not paying taxes. And like some of the comments are like, well, Jesus was arrested by the government, you know, which is like, that's kind of the opposite of Godwin's law, like calling
someone
Jesus. Yeah. And there are several comments on there.
I know for a fact Larkin Rose doesn't stand by those pre-arrest claims about the IRS because he learned his lesson.
I've heard him speak since then.
But like he does say that it was part of a learning process.
Right. We interviewed him on the Freedom Fiends a few years ago, and I'm kind of at the tail end of my calling out libertarians for their, you know, most glaring inconsistencies by name because it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't do anything. The problem isn't the worshipped. It's the worshipers. Those people could all come out tomorrow and say, I was kidding. I don't believe in liberty. I was just trying to fool y'all, which I don't believe about any of them. I think they all believe their stuff, but
we should do that on an April Fool's Day show.
No, we shouldn't. Oh, for us, we could do it for us, not for them. But, cause those people would just, take it out of context and tell other people about it. So, that kind of thing, you know, when you call people on the nuttier stuff like that, what I would consider the nuttier stuff, like saying that if you challenge a judge in court, they will learn their lesson, which is Mark Stevens kind of thing. Or, you know, Larkin Rose is still selling that DVD on his website and Amazon without any commentary or disclaimer or, you know, it's being sold basically still
interesting.
Yeah. This is how the government works.
I know this
works.
Doesn't work anymore, but I'm not going to take my book out of print.
Yeah. Or even put a disclaimer on the website. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, he does in speeches say that I tried this. It didn't work. I was just trying to see what I could do. And I do have respect for the guy for putting skin in the game, as you said, to actually have gone to prison to show that the government don't abide by their own words, which is what he said he did. But I think it's disingenuous to still advertise that on your website and on Amazon when you could, you know, add one line of text on there of, you know, I tried this. It doesn't work. This is for educational and historical purposes only.
It might say that in the book.
This is a DVD. It's a DVD. The whole thing's up on YouTube if you want to watch it. Someone has put up Theft by Deception on YouTube.
Well, I mean, you're asking them to take the pee out of the pool in a sense, but
it's not taking the pee out of the pool to put an addendum on your own website. That takes two seconds to do. I think it's based on the thing still selling and he doesn't want to, you know, sell less of them. And
I hate to say it, but I can understand that too. As a person who like barely gets any royalties from the books I've written, I'd hate to take them off the market.
Yeah, but if I thought that they were going to harm anybody, I would definitely put up a disclaimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Worms. Worms. We're back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market. Worms. 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 Worms, 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 worms.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reindoctrination Center's low-orbit ion cannon. Hi, atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibHair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Hey, Davi, are you there?
Yes.
Are you safe?
I'm here.
Have you been contacted by the government?
I have not been contacted by the government.
So, Davi, have you seen the new Freedom Fiends site layout?
Yeah, I like the color scheme. It's cool.
It's gothy. Yeah. It's actually because I'm in mourning because one of my cats died, but...
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. It's a couple weeks ago. I'm better about it now, but I mean, it's the circle of cats. You know, if you're a cat person, you're gonna have cats pass, and you're gonna get more cats. We're not clamoring to get more cats because we still have a 16-year-old cat who hates all cats except the other cat we have. So we're gonna let her enjoy her golden retirement years, cat free of cats that are new. And then we'll just the next day we'll probably go get 4 kittens or something at the shelter. But so we're talking about Livertopia, which is an event that Davi attended in San Diego, and a couple things.
The keynote kind of addressed all of this. I mean, at least to some extent,
Jeffrey Tucker.
Yeah, the keynote was Jeffrey. You know, the interesting thing about Jeffrey Tucker is he's the only person I've had any kind of like celebritarian sort of shyness about. Like most, yeah, I don't know why. I think I'm intimidated by the bow tie. But like most people, I just walk up to them, I shake their hand, like maybe they know me, maybe they don't, and I just get to know them and stuff. Jeffrey Tucker, I always feel like, you know, like he's got some status or something, and I feel like broke through that. I think I broke through that this time.
There's no rock stars here, man.
I know that. Intellectually, I know that, but like he's the only one who ever like gave me that feeling like the Wayne's World, we're not worthy kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. And I don't even like, I'm not even a huge fan of him.
It's the bow tie, man. It's the bow tie.
It's the bow tie. Yeah.
I have nothing bad to say about that guy on the level that I've had to say about like Molyneux or Mark Stevens. But
yeah, I don't want to say I'm not a fan of him. I am a fan of him. I just mean like I don't follow his YouTube stuff and I don't like follow his career.
I'm really glad to hear him speak.
I love the way he speaks.
I'm glad he exists. I'll say that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But his keynote speech was about not breaking each other down in the Liberty movement and sort of, you know, keeping your eye on the sort of the bigger enemies in the world and sort of not attacking or viciously going after other libertarians.
Well, then now I've got something negative to say about him. I didn't know that was the subject of his keynote speech.
Okay.
I've heard that, and I've heard that when I bring up really valid criticisms of libertarians. You know, the, hey man, we hang together, we hang separately kind of thing, or the, you know, you're hurting the movement. And I say,
I don't think that's what he meant.
He didn't
name him by name, but after hours, I got him to say that he was talking about Chris Cantwell and some nasty things.
That's the thing. He goes after libertarians in a passive aggressive way and doesn't mention him. His whole article, Libertarian Brutalism, which was about 4 people. And I know who it was about. It was about Chris Cantwell, two guys who are somewhat racist who run one of the European Center for Stateless Societies and somebody else. I don't remember, but I used to know. So it's about 4 distinct people as a larger thing of what he thinks is wrong in the movement. And he put enough in there that Chris Cantwell recognized it was about him and took the word brutalism as a badge of honor to the point of naming his house Brutalist House. And the funny thing is the Freedom Fiends did a show about brutalist architecture about 2 years ago and comparing it, like we barely touched on it, but we compared it to Macho Libertarian Flash of, you know, kind of like instead of being a polite bow tie person and saying, yes, well, I believe that we should work towards decriminalizing marijuana. You know, the Macho Libertarian Flasher, which is like me and Nima, would say, no, I think that, you know, drugs should be freely available in vending machines in middle school as long as they're privately owned and operated. Just to, not only to like push buttons, but to like not mince words and take it to the logical conclusion of what liberty would mean. And that's Macho Libertarian Flash. Brutalism takes that and adds an aspect to it of like, no, man, your mama's a, you know, whatever. Like it's that plus rudeness.
But we kind of, Neiman and I kind of invented the term brutalism for libertarianism. And I don't know if Tucker heard that or heard about it and picked it up. But so Chris Cantwell's house is named after something I said, but it was, so it was passive aggressive, like really. And the thing was, there were a lot of people who thought that was about everybody in Liberty that didn't wear a bow tie and hold their pinky up when they drink their whiskey. And people took a lot of offense to it because he wasn't specific. So I would say that not being specific, if you're calling out particular individuals, is, you know, it's there's something wrong with it that's almost as wrong, if there's anything wrong, about calling people out by name.
I don't know. Like, I could see a wisdom in it, too, because if it is like a not a, a specific personal vendetta, but an actual sort of like a principled call for civility, then it would apply to more people than the specific person who insulted you.
But you're giving the insider baseball of that afterwards. You know, probably after some whiskey for breakfast in the evening, he told you that it was about, he was talking about Chris Cantwell.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But it might also, I mean, it is also that he is expressing a concern and hopefully advocating a custom that expands beyond him and Cantwell.
Yeah. So he keeps things secret and expects everyone smart to just get the dog whistle.
So is it civility or is it passive aggression? Does he hope that no one gets the dog whistle? So that might be that too.
So he's in the closet about the dog whistle. I don't know if this is, I mean, this is
blowing whistles in the closet.
Derek J told me he thinks that, Mr. Bowtie is gay, and Derek J is gay. So I'd assume he has good radar. He's like, that guy's absolutely gay. That guy's as gay as the day is long. But
I have pretty good gaydar too. I mean, I grew up around a lot of gay men. And I don't know. He actually kind of throws me for a loop because, like, level one, I see him and I think, like, yeah, you know, kind of effeminate, maybe gay. But then, like, you see him around women and he's very flirtatious in a way that he's not with men.
Gay guys are flirtatious with women though, but I'm not saying he's gay.
He's also married.
He's married and has kids. Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with being gay, but I'm just saying,
or being gay and married and having kids or whatever. You know, everyone's a consenting adult except the kids.
Yeah,
but
and I, that was just, you know, the 900-pound gorilla in the room that I don't think anyone's ever said it and said it of, like, you know, one of the preeminent gay guys in Liberty says that guy's gay, that he's absolutely convinced. Like, as soon as I met him, and it wasn't based on seeing videos of him or hear him talk. It was like, you know, I met him and I was like, oh. One of me, you know?
Yeah. I've also been in enough kind of like geeky, like sci-fi role-playing communities where I've known a lot of men who were kind of like effeminate. And even though they were like heterosexual, they just didn't have much luck with women. And so, like, there's some of that too. Like, that's a valid sort of place for masculinity to fall for a heterosexual. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like academic metrosexuality.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. So, yeah. I've still got nothing like bad I can really say about the guy, you know, other than if you're going to write things that are specific about what's wrong with Liberty, don't mince words, say who you're talking about. You know, the other thing is too, I'm actually going to be taking his tack coming up soon here. I actually have a plan, for a weekend show with Randy England that's going to be talking about the bigger picture of what's wrong with Liberty. And I'm not going to mention any names, but the thing is, I've already mentioned all the names. They're all on record of what I feel about each person. The reason I'm not going to do that, and this is not something that really applies with Jeffrey Tucker, is we're on radio and we have a total audience, a lot of an audience of people who aren't libertarians. You know, his audience is almost entirely libertarians. Who know who the people are that he's not even mentioning. And our audience has no idea who Larkin Rose, Christopher Cantwell, Mark Stevens, Stefan Molyneux.
Well, they should. They should Gold's go to YouTube Gulch, right now and watch hours and hours and hours of all of these people's videos so that they can, you know, have the proper prerequisites to listen to this show.
We got kicked off. We've been kicked off one station, and the guy actually liked the Fiends, and he said, I can't have you on there because people keep saying, you know, like they don't care if people call and say they're going to boycott you. Like, that happens all the time with every talk show host. Like, you know, there are sites like, here's the program director at every station Rush Limbaugh's on. Everyone call him all the time. But, you know, like, they care if their buddies that they golf with say, like, you know, I was listening to your station the other day and I like that show, but they always talk about these rock bands and hip hop musical groups that I don't know who they're talking about. And so I kind of stopped doing that as much, but I guess we're kind of doing that with Liberty people now. So what I'm going to do for teaching hospital purposes is going forth, unless one of these people does something blatant to me or someone I care about, or, you know, files another DMCA against somebody or does something new and wacky, I'm not going to talk about names. I'm going to talk about bigger concepts. Like the fact that people in Liberty who are atheists and anarchists seem to make a god out of people and worship them, which is pretty bizarre to me. That's going to be kind of the topic going forth. And it's got a bigger picture too outside of Liberty, because I mean, that's what happens with the cult of personality with, like, you know, I mean, televangelists who get caught, you know, diddling a boy in the bathroom on crystal meth. And then, you know, they're the same people that are like bilking, you know, starving grandmothers out of their social security check in the name of God, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to be going after hero worship and making a great man of people. That I'm going to be going after that hard without naming current names in Liberty.
Kick people off the thrones. You know, I do something that's almost like the opposite of this passive aggressive thing. And that is that, so I come from the left. Like, I was essentially like a Marxist or socialist before I came to libertarianism. And I still have that socialist in my head. And sometimes I argue with him. And so sometimes I'll get on Facebook or I'll write an article and I'll write it as if I got in an argument with a socialist and won't tell anyone that it was me. So that's sort of like a dog whistle, except the dog whistle I'm blowing is myself.
Yeah, I don't do any sock puppetry. I'm pretty sure Chris Cantwell does. I got a little.
This is a hamster in my brain. I have a socialist hamster in my brain, and I argue with it. It's not really sock puppetry.
Oh, you do it as your name? I thought you meant you have a socialist sock puppet that you get in arguments with people.
No, I mean, like, in my spare time. Like, if I go for a long walk, I'll argue with the socialist in my head, and sometimes something fruitful comes of that argument, and so I'll write crazy about the argument.
So you're crazy.
So I'm crazy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, see, if I admitted who I was talking about, people would think I was crazy, and then they would discredit the rest of the article.
Oh, I got an announcement. Since I railed hard recently on Larkin Rose and others for, and Stefan Molyneux for, editing their past, like making grand, sweeping, ridiculous statements, and then after being called out on them, like deleting the evidence of it, you know, what I would do is say I was wrong and write a blog post linking the original thing and explain what I'd learned. But, you know, a lot of people seem to make these grand sweeping statements, call people government agents, and then delete the post, which we have evidence and screenshots from Larkin Rose doing that. I wanted to say, like, I did some editing in the past, but I'm admitting it and announcing it so people don't think I'm doing that kind of underhanded memory hole stuff. The picture on the Freedom Fiends co-host page of our group photo at Porkfest, one of our co-hosts left the show on good terms, but we photoshopped him out and put MK Lords in. And she's kind of photoshopped not totally correctly, so you can tell it's photoshopped and it says it's photoshopped. So there you go. Yep.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Hey, there's some Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and I am Michael Dean from the Libertarian Police of Vice and Virtue. So you didn't hear, Dobby Barker, you didn't hear the episode where Diana was Skyping in from Dubai, did you?
No, I missed it somehow. Oh, here it is. Yeah, it was Sunday. It's because I was traveling.
You gotta listen to that one, man. Yeah, because you lived in Saudi Arabia, and you actually encountered the Police of Vice and Virtue. Didn't they, like, take your mother's shirt or something?
No, they took my dad's camera, or they threatened to, but they refused and they fought about it and they ended up keeping their camera. What they did was that my mom wasn't dressed correctly, even though she was dressed correctly according to one agency, but apparently not according to the agency. Yeah. And so the police would pinch her.
Ew.
It's just like, was so
that like
nasty.
Was that like punitive or like measuring to see if she was compliant, if her clothes were compliant?
No, it was flirtation.
Ew.
Yeah, it was just, yeah,
that's creepy, exactly. Man. Maybe that's where maybe the TSA like took their training in Saudi Arabia.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dubai is a little mellower than that. If you have a lot of money to spend, you can, you know, basically dress like a streetwalker in Dubai and get away with it.
I've been to Dubai too.
Yeah.
I didn't spend as much time there. I only spent there like a couple days there on the way somewhere else.
Were you dressed like a streetwalker?
Well, you know, everyone's free to walk on the street. I mean, what outfit is not dressed like a streetwalker?
Okay, so you want to talk about Libertopia and something about Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, Black and Yellow, which is actually a hip-hop song that's not about the golden yellow, golden black anarcho-capitalist flag. It's actually about the Pittsburgh Steelers. But yeah, man, so anarchists, there's a whole bunch of kinds of them. And the anarcho-capitalist kind that I don't even like the word anarcho-capitalist or the word anarchist or the word capitalist, because they all have so much negative capital. Anarcho-capitalism to most people sounds like the two worst things in the world. But
yep.
Yeah, I probably fit in the description of most things of an anarcho-capitalist. It's basically like a small government Republican that instead of wanting to drown the government in the bathtub, an anarcho-capitalist wants a government so small that it's theorized about by particle physicists.
Yeah.
And they use a black and gold flag, but there's all sorts of different flags for different kind of anarchists. Go, Davi, go.
Yeah, so this came up sort of. Mark Stevens flew a black and red flag as a backdrop at his table. And so everyone was like, wow, like you wouldn't think that, you know. So all the left libertarians like got all like, ooh, a new celebrity on our team. And so we asked him about it, or someone did. And he just didn't know.
The anarcho-communist flag.
Yeah, he just thought it was the anarchist flag, because that's what comes up first.
Googled anarchist flag, yeah, and it came up. And then, so he went to Kinko's and had a big banner, paid to have a big banner made.
Yeah, and it was one of those like giant like step and repeat banners that are designed to like make sure your logo's in every photograph.
Yeah.
So I don't know, maybe as a public service announcement, should we go through the colors or something?
I'm astonished that I knew that the black and red was the communist flag, you know, the communist anarchist flag in like 1982. I probably knew that, but you know, Mark Stevens probably hasn't hung out in a bunch of European squats playing punk rock like I have. So from San Francisco. So
this is also something kind of interesting about running shinybadges.com. I sell lapel pins of all of the colors, right?
Yeah.
And so as a result, like, I know all the people who bought other colors in the Liberty Movement. You know, like, most people who are black and red are kind of shy about it at Porkfest, or maybe there's a couple black and blues or black and greens out there, and they're shy about it.
You're like the Liberty TSA.
I have the documents on who's
not pure. Although, I could see someone buying one for a friend, or I could see someone buying one just because they don't know the colors mean anything or something, you know?
Yeah. That's true. And then there's also like a CBS show that bought a bunch of black and green ones to use as a prop for a fictional African country. Do you know this show? It's called Madam Secretary, and it's basically a fictionalized documentary about Hillary Clinton.
No.
But anyway, so she negotiates something in one of the episodes with a fictional ambassador from the Republic of West Africa, which is not a real country. And so they needed a sort of fake African flag lapel pin for these fake ambassadors. And so they bought a bunch of the black and green flag pins from my website.
Yeah, that's funny. Have you ever seen the movie Bananas, the Woody Allen movie?
No, it's pretty. I thought I'd seen every Woody Allen movie.
I think you'd love it, and you should watch it. It's basically Woody Allen plays, and I don't know, spoiler alert, this movie came out 45 years ago. I think I could say what's in it.
I like spoilers. I'm writing this down.
Yes, Bananas, by Woody Allen movie. He basically plays, you know, himself. He plays some version of himself, which is a young nebbish.
No way. Woody Allen, you know, playing himself?
You know, basically a young nebbish who can't get any play with the ladies. And he meets this girl he likes, and she is attending communist rallies. So he ends up going to, like, the fictional country of San Marcos and overthrowing the government by accident and becoming their dictator. And hilarity ensues. But there's a revolution that's being broadcast by Howard Cosell, and it's really funny.
That does sound like a Woody Allen movie.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends. Worms, worms. Worms, worms. Worms, worms. Worms, worms. Dobby Barker.
Michael Dean.
Did you know that there are people who believe that if you file copyrights on your name, the government can't serve any papers on you?
Why would that be?
Because people want to come up with a magic solution that you can use in court that the government seems to have missed. And, you know, people think they have the secret knowledge.
But the government runs copyright. Yeah. Why would that? Why?
The government runs copyright. And you also can't copyright your name because it's not a unique, like, work product of yourself. And it doesn't fit the definition, the criteria for copyright. And then I've also heard people copywriting their birth certificate, which you also can't copyright because most documents, including birth certificates produced by government agencies, are in the public domain if they're not, you know, secret documents. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. Like, people think that they can make their own license plates and the cops will leave them alone, and just all sorts of magic. Putting your name in all caps, which is, this is an interesting one, is I've heard of people.
I thought it was refusing to put your name in all caps.
There's two ways it goes. One is when every legal filing ever, the plaintiff's name is in all caps. And there are people who say, well, that's a tombstone name. That is not my legal name. So
a
they
tombstone say, name.
Yeah. Like,
meaning people put tombstones in all caps.
Yeah. Often.
Like, we're literally talking about graveyard tombstones right now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people that think that if your name's in all caps, it's not your legal name and you don't have to answer to the complaint. But then there's also people that will sign things in all caps so they can later not have to abide by them because they say, oh, a dead person signed that. That wasn't me. It's all magical thinking.
People are weird, man. Yeah,
people are weird. I mean, I kind of put this in the same class of, like, you know, plans for liberty, like shooting all the cops, which is a ridiculous plan. It wouldn't bring you to liberty. It's collectivism. It's immoral, you know, or any of these or you know, I mean, I would even include in there like trying to start a, you know, timeshare libertarian community in a socialist country in South America, and then for some reason the money all disappears. Like all of these schemes that people come up with in liberty, and here's why people come up with these schemes, because tyranny is such an untenable problem, feels like such an untenable problem. Like when you learn about liberty, when you learn the aggression principle that runs the government, when you learn the thing of like every law is backed by the barrel of a gun or the threat of a cage, you start to just see tyranny everywhere. And you can, as Boston Tea Party said, stew in your libertarian juices. If you don't laugh at it enough, you know, you cry, and then you try to come up with a solution. And it's kind of, Ben Stone told me, it's kind of like weight loss. Like the only way to lose weight healthy and keep it off is to eat less food, eat healthy, and eat less food, eat less, and exercise more. And that takes a commitment for the rest of your life. People want a pill. They want
something. I got a $1 million idea. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to call it 8 Minute Liberty.
All right. Well, you know, our friend Katie Chaos did a video called Anarchism in 27 Seconds, which
it
paid off on the headline, and it was really funny and cute, and she's got like a teddy bear while she's doing it.
She beat me to it.
Yeah, and it's
first got to market.
It's got,
I don't know if I can give you liberty in under 27 seconds.
It's got 10,000 hits or something like that. So, so people are looking for these magic solutions because they don't want to work at liberty, and because we don't always know what working at liberty looks like. So people will run the hamster in their brain on like, I've got the idea. All we have to do is get as many people as possible to challenge the authority of judges. Or all we have to do is point out that in the tax code, there's an inconsistency. Or all we have to do is a violent armed revolution when most of us aren't trained in soldiering at all. Or, you know, and I would say the only thing that's come up in liberty that almost is so bizarre and sci-fi and like, boy, wouldn't it be cool if we had this thing that actually almost that works is Bitcoin. It's the only thing. It's the only, and I'm not saying like, well, we're done, we can quit fighting for liberty, but it is the closest thing to a like magic pill, I would say. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is sort of going to be the future of human like liberty is progress as opposed to politics. And it's sort of the same reason that the invention of the harvester could have done away with slavery if the Civil War hadn't sort of almost done it.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be these very sort of strange, unpredictable things.
The cotton gin and the harvester. Yeah.
Or any sort of mechanized labor like does away with the need for slave labor. Oh, that's another thing.
Let me interject here. You know, one of the other things is that whole that we will make machines that will solve the problem of labor and then we can live lives of luxury, which is the Zeitgeist movement and also part of what's that other thing run by the Procter & Gamble guy?
The Thrive movement?
Yeah, the Thrive movement. Yeah, which is like based
on Star Trek.
Yeah, it's labor, you know, it's labor technology that doesn't exist yet and putting all your eggs in the basket of we need to make this happen. And like, you know, again, like the people, fans of all these things will call you a government agent if you, you know, point out the inconsistencies. And they'll say,
well, here's the thing with this whole, you know, the whole idea of an abundant society without scarcity.
The government, like, people would still take the abundancy and people would still starve. It wouldn't solve anything.
So Gene Roddenberry wanted to do this with Star Trek. He envisioned a world of post-scarcity, you know, abundance where money and commerce were irrelevant. And even as the creator of a universe who could employ like magical technology at will, he still could not create a universe where it didn't make sense for commerce to occur.
And he still couldn't make an industry where people didn't point ray guns at each other and aggress on them all the time in every planet in the universe.
Yeah, because they needed dilithium crystals, and dilithium crystals are, you know, rare. Durable and rare and fungible and divisible and portable and all of these things that you expect money to be.
Wait, that's what Bitcoin is. That's Bitcoin is probably based on dilithium crystals.
We need a Bitcoin powered warp drive.
I liked your concept our concept that Bitcoin is backed by gold because Bitcoin is backed by computer processing power and you can't make a computer without a tiny amount of gold.
You know, I tested that on a Bitcoin hater who really knew his stuff at Liberty Forum, and it threw him for a loop.
I think we need to get that out of there. I mean, and we come up with things like on the fly that we say once or twice and throw away that are like probably more interesting and viable than things based their whole people. Some people in Liberty base their whole life on. Yeah. It's the hamster in the brain, man. What it is, it's like people are just crushed. And I am crushed when I realize, when I finally, you know, see through the glasses and see that the world is based on tyranny and everyone, you know, every government is trying to throw you in a cage and take your money and kill you. That's kind of that hurts. That's a painful realization. And so you want a solution and there's not one now. You know, the classic example of it is the undergnomes. Stealing
the underwear gnomes.
Yeah. The step A, steal underwear. Step C, get rich. And then step B is a question mark.
I don't know.
You know, that's the thing with liberty. Like step A, want a libertarian paradise. Step C, libertarian paradise. And the step B with the question mark in it, like all these people fill it in with these things where they think they've figured out the answer and it's not the answer. It may lead to someone else coming up with the answer. I'm not saying these people should all just go, you know, work for Obama or anything. But
the underwear gnome thing was a big part of Adam Kokesh's speech at Libertopia.
Yeah, I think he got it from Chris Cantwell, of all things. I think there was an interview.
Well, to some extent, they both got it from South Park. I don't know if we can credit Chris Cantwell with underwear gnomes. But yeah. Okay.
And tomorrow night, we're going to talk about something that's actually real. That's a plot. Not tomorrow, this weekend. It's on our notes for with MK Lords. We're going to talk about 80-year-old Charles Manson is marrying a 26-year-old hippie girl who makes gift baskets, who's named Star. And she has said that her parents said that if he gets out of prison, he can come live in her basement. And Manson getting out of prison and living in someone's basement is the plot of a South Park.
Weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, Bitcoin works. And it's I'm not saying we're done with liberty. And I'm not saying I have a magic solution. And that's one of the criticisms that these people with the magic solutions give me. You know, the eloquent speakers who people go, oh, you're right. You're like a god. I'll listen to anything you say. And I'm not jealous. I don't want that. And I discourage that. Like, I make it hard to even email me, man, in case you haven't noticed, if you're a Fiend fan. I don't really like to interact with a lot of people at once. And I certainly don't want to solve their problems and think I have all the answers. But that's what I said.
Central planners need not apply.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have something to say about the Fiends, put it on the Fiends site and share it with everybody. Don't bother sending it to me. I'm going to read it in a hurry while I'm having my coffee in the morning, reading 28 emails probably every morning when I wake up, and not really give it much thought. But if you put it on the site, I might comment on it and other people will see it for sure. So yeah, man, go to our gothy new site, freedomfiends.com.
Yeah, it's nice and purple now. I like it. I think it's cool.
Yeah. So we have solved all the problems of liberty. What did you want to talk about after this? Crocodile or something else?
Yeah, we can do crocodile.
Okay. What is crocodile?
Wasn't it just a general? Wasn't there were more drugs we wanted to talk about? Wasn't there something about, or was it just crocodile? I don't really understand what crocodile is.
Okay, then I shouldn't be asking you.
It's like napalm and cough medicine mixed up in a blender and then like poured into your eye, right? Yeah, or something like that.
Pretty close to napalm and cough medicine. No, it's a drug that basically turns you into a zombie. And it's pretty common in Russia and a little less common in Europe. And it's starting to pop up in America. And American law enforcement and medical personnel are freaked out because it's an injectable drug that makes your skin fall off. Now, if you don't believe me, go to Google right now and Google image the term crocodile, K-R-O-K-O-D-I-L. It's called that because it makes your skin look like a crocodile. And the Russian word for crocodile is crocodile. It literally makes your skin fall off to where you can see your bones, and people still shoot this drug.
Ew.
And I told you something I learned about it from a documentary that I didn't know even before. And I was one of the first people hip to this. I actually hipped the creator of Death Clock, of Metapocalypse, Brandon Small, during.
Does it not hurt when your skin falls off? Like, do people walk around with their skin hanging off?
It's excruciating, and they still keep doing the drug because they're addicts. And the thing is, like, government and medical people look at this like, or a lot of government, especially law enforcement, look at this like, we need to crack down harder on this. No, this is because heroin's illegal. If heroin were freely available in vending machines, or even, you know, like they do in England, where you can sign up and be a registered heroin addict and get it pharmaceutical.
Bathtub crack wouldn't exist if meth was legal.
Yeah. And bathtub meth wouldn't exist if meth were legal. All right, we're going to talk more about hardcore liberty, macho libertarian flash truth when we get back. for the chilling conclusion, thrilling conclusion of the Freedom Fiends. Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Freedom Fiends, we are a ghost gun of liberty that you can keep in your pocket anywhere. Yeah, so I was talking earlier about why we do radio instead of a podcast, and I gave about 8 reasons over the past 2 days. I thought of another reason. I like the challenge of dealing with a show clock and dealing with trying to like segmentize things and have redemptions in the third act and not get the words cut off. It's fun. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and it gives me time to go and get coffee when I need it.
Yeah. So we were talking about a far more dangerous drug than coffee, which is crocodile, which is basically what it is in Russia, it's legal to buy codeine without a prescription over the counter. And if you mix codeine pills, crush them up and like dissolve them in gasoline and then add like red phosphorus and battery acid or something and then cook it, it turns into something stronger than morphine, not quite as strong as heroin, but way stronger than codeine. It's injectable.
Now, do you mean a stronger drug or yes. a stronger solvent?
Both. And so basically it's like,
so I was pretty close with napalm and cough.
It's bathtub heroin. And you knew about crocodile before and you kind of went, ugh. But I told you something before the show that made you go, ugh. Let's see if
my skin crawl.
Let's see if we can replicate the realism of your I should have just sprung this on you on the air, but I never know what'll disgust whom. But so the way they arrest people, the way they identify crocodile users in Russia to arrest them is after shooting this drug, your sweat smells like gasoline.
Oh man, that's so creepy.
It really
is. It's like identifying zombies by their smell. Like, yeah. So do they have like crocodile sniffing dogs that are like, ugh, this guy smells like gasoline?
It's so strong, you don't need that. Like people on the subway can tell who's the crocodile user, that kind of thing. And
so I got a question. Do you think the crocodile should be available in vending machines?
No. Well, no? Put it this way. If good narcotics were available in vending machines, nobody would use the crocodile vending machine, even if it was cheaper.
Never would.
Yeah, man.
Never would.
Yeah, because it wouldn't be that much cheaper. And actually, Nima Vidadi and I did the maths on it at one point and determined and named an episode. In LibPair, all drugs would cost 7 cents a dose.
Yeah, we'd also have like teams of very well-paid scientists like taking out all of the symptoms and negative side effects.
Yeah. Yeah, you could probably buy non-addictive heroin and like... You know, people say like, well, why would anyone want heroin? You know, put it this way. If you had, I think of the worst flu you've ever had. If you could take a pill or have an injection and suddenly feel like going to work and be whistling, wouldn't you do it? Especially if it had no side effects. I mean, that's heroin. With, you know, heroin has side effects. But, you know, if they could get the addiction out of heroin, wouldn't you do that when you had the worst flu you ever had? Wouldn't you want to be able to take something without going to a doctor that you wouldn't need to go to a doctor because it wouldn't hurt you, and where you could just feel go from, you know, worst flu where you feel like you're dying to whistling and a little bit sweaty, but ready to go do fun stuff. Of course you would.
I sure would.
Yep.
Although I don't do any drugs. So
I don't do any drugs.
I guess I wouldn't.
I don't do any drugs either. But unlike most people in recovery, I don't have a line in the sand. Like, I must die sober. Like,
I mean, that's an interesting question in and of itself. So like, let's say you're in Alcoholics Anonymous and you're in Alcoholics Anonymous because you've like hit rock bottom and sort of the definition of addiction is that it's causing negative side effects in your life and it's out of your control, right?
Yeah.
So what if the drug doesn't cause negative side effects in your life? Do you still
abstain? That's actually in the AA book. It says, in the AA book, you know, written in 1935, it says something like, someday scientists may remove the addiction from alcoholism, but that day is not upon us, or something like that. So in the meantime,
that's interesting.
Yeah. I don't think you can. I don't think you could remove the psychological addiction from something that feels good in the same way that I don't think you can remove the problem of people in liberty chasing hamster wheels down wormholes of ridiculous solutions when they should be trying to think of reasonable solutions by getting rid of the people with the ridiculous solutions, because that's not going to solve it. You know, it's kind of like you can't, like Ben Stone says, you can't really get rid of the government without getting rid of the state. And the state is people's belief that the government should be there. Yeah, man.
Worms.
Yeah. So, yeah, if I were run over by a car, I would let a doctor give me morphine. And there's, you know, but my first week in NA, though, like, they were going to visit a guy who was in the hospital. And then the next day, a bunch of people came back to the meeting and said that he died clutching his one-year chip, refusing morphine in pain with a smile on his face. And I was like, that sounds like a movie that I don't want to be in if I'm ever in that much pain. Yeah.
I think the future of altered states is direct manipulation of the brainwaves
over the
over the blockchain. So there you can turn it off and on at will.
I think that should be a Card Against Humanity in volume 5. Manipulation of your brain over the blockchain. Worms, been a great show, Dobby Barker. Stick around for a minute. I'll chat with you. Worms.
No problem.